coming soon to own on video and DVD.
In a world where one man has seen every movie, there's one woman who's seen hardly any. Together, this unlikely duo must review all the best films she's never seen. Starring Jack Spade as the hero we didn't ask for.
Oi, hey, you want to see a zombie kangaroo?
And Leanne Foster as the damsel who doesn't know shit.
He can store weapons in his pouch.
Huntsville Home Video, now playing.
The following movie is rated R.
We're on the last train to Busan, and I'll meet you at the station when it's overrun by zombies. And baby, they're not slow. No, no, no. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. And they're probably going to eat us all again.
I can't with you. I'm already done.
Welcome.
That was so adorable.
Welcome to Huntsville Home Video. The two dead monkeys rolling over in their graves. The two alive monkeys probably going to sue us for copyright infringement on that one.
And we're the other two monkeys just hanging out in this barrel of laughs.
Side note, monkeys better than the Beatles.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's my hot take.
Wow.
Right out of the gate.
I can't argue because I couldn't tell you anything that the monkeys sing.
Okay.
Except for that little gem.
Right? Man, do I love the monkeys.
Wow. Okay, I didn't know that about you.
Right there. Yeah, so now not only do we get to talk about zombie movies today, you get a little bit more about me.
Right.
I love the monkeys.
Okay.
Here
Seems
we
like
come,
you would.
Walking down the street. No, I'm not going to.
Really? Because honestly, I feel like this should just be the whole podcast. You just singing monkey songs.
Right.
It would just be it. Like Train Busan, zombies. So anyways.
So anyway, here's Jack singing more monkeys tracks. And watch our numbers just plummet.
Goodness gracious.
Unless our Australian fans love the monkeys too. I should do some research on that.
Do they like? Okay. We'll research that.
Yeah.
Aren't they British? Monkeys are British, right? And Australia got some kind of rule over there with the English people. Isn't that
perhaps,
how that works?
Perhaps.
Something? Aren't y'all like a province?
I think this is the quickest we have been derailed on a
derailed
movie ever. Train pun.
Train movie.
Oh, welcome back to Huntsville Home Video. If you are here after we wrapped up our Marvel month with Endgame, congratulations. Thank you. Welcome back.
Mm-hmm.
We're glad that you're here for more than just the Marvel flicks.
We're happy you're now taking the trip with us downhill.
That's right. The fast track to diminishing returnsville starts now.
Right. It really started off at episode one, but we'll say now.
Yeah. Okay. That's proper.
Yeah. The people who are with us now are the OGs.
Yep.
You know?
The true fans.
Mm-hmm.
And so today we will be talking. We decided to decompress a little bit.
Yes.
From all of the emotional heaviness of Endgame.
Because we got very emotional.
We did.
Get very emotional. I got very emotional several times.
There was laughter. There were tears.
We had everything, really.
Everything, yeah. It's a whirlwind of emotion.
Ah, we ran the gambit, or whatever it is.
Yes, we ran the gambit.
Gambit? That's right.
Yep. Sure. Damn it. And so today we figured we'd lighten the mood up a little bit.
Right.
With a tale about the zombie apocalypse.
Of course. Because what's better than people dying?
Nothing, really.
As long as it's not my favorite superheroes, I'm fine.
Right. Yeah.
As long as it's children and people, don't give a fuck.
Yeah. DGAF. And today we will be talking about what I consider to be the best zombie movie to come along probably in the last 20 years. A movie that I've mentioned many times to my good friend Leanne. And now that we have a podcast where all I do is show her all these movies that she's never seen.
Right.
We are finally getting around to Train to Busan.
Mm-hmm.
So right out of the gate, as I often do when we start talking about these movies, I will ask you, Leanne Foster, what did you think of Train to Busan?
I thought it was really good.
You goddamn right you did.
Yeah, and it was more intense than I thought it was going to be.
Right?
Like, not the most intense thing I've ever seen, but for being on a train, pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Yeah, good storyline. Yeah. I liked it.
Yeah, and you when it comes to zombie movies, you sometimes they're situational. Sometimes it's just like, hey, here's zombies. We got to deal with them, whatever the case. And you get varying degrees of intensity,
right,
of character arcs, of likability. But I mean, this is a situation where we're on a train and there's zombies.
Pretty straightforward.
Run with it.
Right.
And holy shit, did they run with it.
They did run with it. And I, you know, usually you're dealing with zombies on a world scale, which is crazy and scary. But this one being confined to a train was super scary.
Yeah.
Like you're claustrophobic in the movie.
Right?
Yeah.
And I feel, you know, there is something, now that you've seen a few foreign films that I've introduced you to, and there is something a little bit different between, you know, American audience tastes and foreign audience tastes.
Right.
So maybe if this movie were to be remade by an American director, which I think it probably will be, depending on who it is, they might have ratcheted up the intensity to American audiences.
Mm-hmm.
But even still, this movie had super tense, like, you know, heart in your throat moments.
Right. I yelled out a few times and I documented them in my notes.
Now that I've seen you react to a movie like Endgame in person.
Sorry.
Now I rewatch Train to Busan. I'm like, I'm wondering if Leanne was just on her couch flipping out. No, don't go in the bathroom. Oh, no, you're dead. Oh, God, no.
Damn it. Yeah. I did yell out a few times for sure.
You had a couple of those moments?
I did.
Good deal. So you are not a fan of vampires, as we've learned from this podcast.
Fuck a vampire.
You're indifferent on the werewolves.
Don't care.
Don't give a shit. But you do like the zombies.
Zombies is fine.
I got
pulled in on The Walking Dead.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are there any zombie movies that you are a fan of?
I mean, the original Night of the Living Dead.
A classic.
Like that one. What did I see? Was it 28? Day,
28 days later, 28 maybe? Weeks later.
Yeah, 28 days later, maybe. Mm-hmm. That was the one I saw.
You know who was in 28 weeks later?
Hmm.
Your boy Jeremy Renner, Hawkeye.
Oh, is he?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I saw that one.
Okay. That was the sequel. That was
right. Well, day. Well, week is longer than a day, so I figured maybe.
Well, I had to clarify because you watch shit backwards.
I didn't that one.
Well, congratulations.
Maybe I think that's the one I saw.
Maybe if there were 20, 28, whatever movies later, then you would have watched them starting with 28 years later.
Right.
And then just worked your way backwards.
Did I see Dawn of the Dead? Is that the one where they're in the mall?
The original or the remake?
The original.
Well, I've
seen both. I saw the original and the remake. Is that the one in the mall?
That is the one in the mall.
Okay. All right. I like that one.
That's considered by many to be the godfather of zombie movies.
Yeah.
George Romero. He did that one. He did Night of the Living Dead,
yes.
Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead. That's a trilogy. Mm-hmm. Also did Land of the Dead, which I think is super underrated.
Was Day of the Dead when they were underground in that bunker thing? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that Bub the Zombie.
Yes.
Where they're trying to make him smart.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I hated and loved him all at the same time. Makes sense, I guess.
George Romero was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was great.
Yeah.
Kind of gave me my love of the zombie movie. Night of the Living Dead I saw many, many years ago when I was probably way too young for it.
Right.
And that movie fucked me up. Like, still, something about that movie to this day is still very unnerving, very creepy.
Right.
I think it's the old grainy black and white footage that does it.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost documentarian in nature.
Yes.
And it just gives you something kind of creepy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree.
But then everything, not everything, but a lot of things after that in the zombie genre, just...
Right.
You tried.
Mm-hmm.
Like, kudos.
Right. Not a World War Z fan, are you?
No. Not a World War Z fan.
I know I saw that one, but I couldn't tell you much other than Brad Pitt or like a scarf, I think.
See, that World War Z was actually based on a book.
Okay.
By a dude named Max Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
And he also wrote a book like How to Survive the Zombie Apocalypse or whatever. So I love the zombie franchise. And I mentioned this when we were talking about the movie last week, when we were talking about that we were going to speak about it this week, that the zombie genre was my jam back in the day.
Okay.
And well before The Walking Dead, well before, you know, zombies became everyone's favorite thing.
Right. I'm a poser. Like, I got in on Walking Dead and then I went backwards.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
So the thing that I hate about The Walking Dead and World War Z, the book more than the movie, because the book and the movie are night and day different.
Okay.
I don't like it when the writer, the creator is like, I am smarter than the zombie genre, and they try to get clever with it. And they really don't get clever with it.
Okay.
It's just like, you can, all you need for a zombie movie are characters that you hate and characters that you like, mm-hmm. and you don't want them to die, but you know they're going to.
Right.
And then you need zombies.
That's it.
They can be fast. They can be slow. You have to, I believe you have to cater what type of movie you're doing to, if your zombies are fast or slow.
Okay.
For example, if you, like in Dawn of the Dead, the original, mm-hmm. when the zombies are slow, your downfall always comes from human ego.
Right.
So it's like, hey, we got this great situation. We're barricaded in a mall. We got the zombies taken care of. They're a non-issue at this point. We just have to not be assholes.
And humans cannot not be assholes.
Correct.
Right.
And then a human is an asshole and it all comes crumbling down.
Fucks everything up. Yes.
Fucks everything up.
Uh-huh.
And then if you get the fast zombies, you have like a more kind of just like primal horror nature to it. It's like, you know, hey, we need to not be assholes and we have to watch out for these incredibly dangerous creatures because these motherfuckers can run at you full clip. And well, we're fat Americans and we can't move this quickly.
I just had McDonald's, man.
Yeah, as I'm sipping
as
my
you're
cola.
Sipping on your large cola.
Those zombie hordes are going to hurt.
Yeah.
Do you have a preference for a fast or a slow zombie?
I can accept both. It doesn't matter to me.
Right.
I just, as long as the movie's good, it doesn't matter. Like you say, just as long as you serve the point of the movie, it's fine.
All right.
I'll accept either one.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And these zombies in Train to Busan, incredibly quick.
Yes.
And they get infected incredibly quickly.
That was something I don't think I've ever seen before. Like how fast they just bite and move on. Like, you know, they're not sitting there just chomping away. Like they bite, they move on, people turn, and then it's super fast. It doesn't stop. Like,
it's almost just like it's a physical virus just trying to manifest itself and move forward.
That's exactly what it was. Just multiplying. It was crazy. Yeah. I don't think I'd ever seen zombies move that fast or portrayed in that way.
And very, very, very cool, very well done zombies and done in a way that gives you a sense of urgency. You're like, oh shit, we gotta fucking get away from these things quick.
Right. And those freaking veins, like when you see their veins start coming up, like as they're turning, like it's just so fast. Yeah.
That's a good zombie look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it.
Well, would you like to get in and discuss the finer points?
Absolutely.
Of Train to Busan.
I would love to do that, because guess what?
What?
That's why we're here.
Oh shit.
That's what we do, yo.
Is that why these microphones are here?
Yeah.
Man, I thought we were just hanging out talking about zombie movies.
No, we're going to talk about this specific zombie movie.
Are people going to hear this?
At least 13, maybe.
Sweet.
Our baker's dozen.
Yeah.
Somebody over in Australia, mate, is going to hear it.
I think we just lost two more.
No, come on. Just let me do it. I don't do it often. Just let me have my little fun.
All right.
I said two words. I won't say any more until the end.
Okay.
So we start off, we're in a quarantine zone. We got to slow down because shit has gone awry somewhere, somehow. And a Hyundai approaches and gets, and I only say that because I have a Hyundai now, and it approaches, it slows down, and there's been a minor leak in the biotech district. Never good.
No.
Never good to have a leak, and the driver is very skep on this, I will say.
Very skep, incredibly skep.
So he's driving through, he reaches for the phone, hits a deer, and it looks dead because it gets dragged, it's gross, and then all of a sudden it gets back up, and we now have a zombie deer.
That was fucking dope.
And hearing the freaking bones crack of that thing just coming back to life and getting back up, holy shit.
That's something that's kind of come out over the last decade or so, where a zombie will have like a certain like crick to them,
right.
You know? They'll like move in certain ways. They'll distort, you know, a shoulder's out of place or a neck is popped over. And you hear those little sound effects. You're like, gee, God damn it.
It's just icky. That's the best word I can come up with, icky.
It is icky. It's very icky.
Yeah.
And also in this movie, we've established that like animals can be zombies.
Right, exactly. And I accepted it completely. Yep. I'm like, well, yeah, that makes sense.
I'm in.
So,
man, could you imagine an army of zombie kangaroos?
Oh my God.
Shit.
If you thought they were bad then.
And the fast moving ones, now they're even faster and they can punch even harder.
They can hippity hop even faster on them yes. gross limbs.
They can hippity hop.
Holy shit, dude.
I hope they don't hippity hop too hard. Their limbs might break and that would be icky.
Right. That would be super icky.
Yeah.
But then they might not be as dangerous because if they hippity hop on their gross legs, once they lose the legs, they're gone. Well, that's with anything, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But don't get too close because their reach is awesome and they can zombie punch you to death.
Did they tell you that? Because they can talk in your fantasy world.
They can, yeah.
So we get a zombie deer and then we meet... What is his name? CO? I'm trying to understand these people's names.
Full disclosure, I cannot pronounce those names and I don't want to massacre them.
Okay, well, then we meet our main guy. We'll call him our main dude. All right. Let's show him the respect he deserves by calling him main dude. And he's a fund manager. We get a backstory on him. He's in a bitter kind of divorce with his baby mama. And he has a daughter who wants to spend her birthday with her mother in Busan because she and the father do not have the best of relationships.
He's a very business-minded
works
dad,
a lot,
workaholic,
yeah. mm-hmm,
you
mm-hmm.
know, puts a strain on the kid's relationship.
Yeah, and you know that he doesn't really understand her or anything that's going on in her life because he gifts her a Wii for her birthday. She's already got one. Like, he doesn't know what's going on, and he missed her recital. She got a little stage fright. She was singing a song and she stopped midway. Oh, God, poor little thing. So he decides that he's going to take time off of work and he's going to take her to Busan so that they can spend their birthday with her mom.
Sounds fair.
Train to Busan.
The last train to Busan.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, nice. So they leave early and they almost get T-boned by a bunch of fire trucks and you see a big fire off in the distance. Chaos has begun.
Mm-hmm.
Chaos be a brewin'. So they get on the train and then you start meeting our people on the train. Like, there's a baseball team there and their one cheerleader and their sweet, timid little player that she sits next to. We got some sisters eating a boiled egg. Like, all your main people, right?
Yep.
And there's an injured lady that just runs in on the train, which I don't know how that conductor missed that. Like, what the fuck is he getting paid to do?
Not watch for infected people, apparently.
You didn't feel that? You didn't feel the wind resist off of that?
Right.
When she ran in? It was, you didn't hear that clomp up the steps? No, okay. All right, bro. So,
all right, bro, you doomed us all. Thanks.
Right.
Thanks, bro.
So, as the train is taking off, you see kind of like chaos at the platform, right? Like above the platform. But it's not anything too crazy to really worry about. So the train takes off and the injured lady, you can see like all of her veins through her skin. It's pretty gnarly, dude.
Icky.
Super icky. Something be a spreading. And then they kind of get directed to one of the bathrooms where there is a guy in there. And that was a surprise. And I thought he was a zombie, but he's not. But he's pretty shaken up and he's like, everybody dead. Everybody dead and dying, right?
That's exactly how he said it.
Now, exactly, yeah. And now the lady is walking through the train. She's convulsing, found by an attendant. And we're seeing now over the news what's happening. It's already nationwide. Like, whatever this breakout is, whatever this mess is, it's nationwide. And the lady reanimates into a zombie. Ugh.
Now, here's a question for you. When you go back to, like, Night of the Living Dead.
Right.
All of these updates of things that are happening throughout this town or the area where they're in, they all come in through the radio.
Uh-huh.
And now we're at a stage in humanity where you can get just instantaneous worldwide coverage. So in zombie movies, they'll say, like, weird things are happening here and this is happening here. Here's CNN with this update of violence in wherever.
Mm-hmm.
Which do you find more creepy?
Radio.
100%.
Because not everybody would have a radio on or have, everybody's got a TV on. Everything that can pop in anytime, you can get it, updates on your phone. But back in the day, you didn't have the radio on. You didn't know what the fuck was going on.
Completely agree.
Super scary to get it that way.
In those older movies, when you get people gathered around a radio and the announcer's coming through with his serious radio voice.
Right. You can't see, because you can't see anything. You're just relying on what this guy's telling you.
Yeah. Even to this day, like when the severe weather national update comes through.
Same.
That shit creeps me out.
Uh-huh.
It's something about that humanless, emotionless voice that comes through that's just like, ugh, we're all going to die.
Right. No, I agree the same way.
All right.
Yeah, same thing.
I could watch that same news breaking on TV from an in-person reporter, not feel an ounce of dread.
Mm-hmm.
But then that comes in on the emergency broadcast system, and I'm like, ah, shit. Well, it was a good run.
No face.
Let's, yep.
Oh,
wrap
God.
It up.
Nope, I'm with you. I always thought I was a nut for feeling that way, but I understand completely.
Hell buddies for life.
Yeah! So... So she reanimates, and then you see in one of the train cars, she's basically piggybacked the attendant and is just gnawing on that neck.
Just going to work.
Going to freaking town. And she goes into the car with the students, with the baseball players. So then that attendant reanimates itself like a zombie do. And then now we got chaos on the train to Busan, the last train to Busan. And I'm like, why don't we just have enough brain to seal that off? But I know that you know, because they just keep running through the carts. And I'm like, why can't somebody just close the door yet? Like, why are we going this far? But then again, I've never been in a zombie apocalypse on a train. I'd have been the first bitten. I don't go very fast.
You'd have been the one getting with the zombie on your back. Just, get the fuck off me.
No fight or flight. I'm just down on the ground. Like, well, it was a good run.
And if I was in that same train with you and I was, say, a couple of seats ahead of you or whatever, I'd look back and be like, oh, shit, that's not right. And I would get up and I would go to the next car and shut the door.
I know you would. I know. I have to die so you can live. I know how the rest of, I know how our ending is. Like I know there's going to be our ending in some weird bullshit way. Like, I'm going to have to die so that you can live. I feel that. I don't know why.
But I don't want it that way. It should be the other way.
No.
I'm older. I've lived longer. You've got much more to offer.
No, let me go. Come on. We're fighting to go first.
Let the zombies bite me, goddammit.
And it's just super freaking fast already. Like, them just reanimating. Like we said earlier, they get bit, they immediately reanimate to a zombie. And I'm also like, can we shut a door? Exclamation point. Get in a bathroom, you fucks. Those were my notes. So we finally get our kind of main players throughout the movie piled into a car before anyone shuts a frickin' door. And we learn that while the zombies are fast, they are just pure, like, rage almost. Like, they don't know how to operate things, so they don't know how to open the door. I don't think there's really a lock on the door. They're just beating up against it.
Yeah, they haven't figured out doorknobs like them velociraptors in Jurassic Park.
Still one of the craziest scenes to me in that kitchen. Like, that tore me up as a child. And, like, I'm still, like, to this day when I watch it as a 30-year-old, I'm like, shit, the kitchen!
They open doors now,
And even with her reflection, like, when she's trying to shut the door and it's just her reflection and I know it's her reflection now, you know, that the velociraptor's going at, I'm like, oh, shit! Get the door down! Like, that's amazing.
You imagine if one of those raptors got bit by a zombie in Train to Busan?
Zombie raptors? Do those exist? Let's make that movie.
All right.
Oh my God. Do we have a zombie raptor anywhere?
We have a velocipastor.
What?
Yeah, that's a thing.
I'm sorry.
A pastor that turns into a velociraptor.
Get the fuck out of here. What are you talking about?
That's
Is this
movie.
Real?
Yeah.
Oh, and I have to watch it now. I have to watch Velocipastor.
Yeah.
That's how this has to go.
That's how this story ends.
Shit, son of a bitch.
Next week on Huntsville Home Video, Velocipastor.
The train to Velocipastor.
Man, whoever we didn't lose this week, we're getting rid of next week.
Oh, damn it to hell. So the zombies don't know how to work the door, right? And they just keep banging up against it. And I also put, we're 30 minutes into this movie. And it's just chaos. It goes pretty fast.
Yeah, no need to dilly-dally when we got shit to do here.
Well, so like an American film, we don't take an hour and a half to figure out who these characters are. Like, we get the synopsis and then we fucking go with it, you know? Like, I feel.
That is a very good point. I feel that, and again, it kind of depends on the movie that you're going for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like when you take a movie like the original Dawn of the Dead, you have that initial big action sequence up front,
mm-hmm.
and then you kind of slow things down once you get to the mall.
Right.
And I like that because it's like we're here to show you how the world is now. This mm-hmm. is how we live. This is how we, you know, move on. This is how we've adapted.
Yeah.
And that's great for what that is. Like, we don't need that for this movie.
No.
We've got these people in a confined space. We just need to know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
You either like them or you don't. You want them to die or you don't.
Yeah.
And then we got zombies coming.
Mm-hmm.
Bug
mm-hmm.
it. Let's go.
And apparently we learned that the zombies only get riled up like that when they see humans. So they paper the door to cover it, and then the zombies calm down. You don't have the carrot dangling. We don't yep. freak out, right? And also, I do the same thing when I don't see people. I just kind of calm down.
I don't think people excite you a lot. I think when you see people, you're like, ugh.
The pandemic has changed me.
People.
Like, I'm just like, I'm trying to tiptoe into it gradually, getting back around people. I've lots changed for me in a year. I'm just like, general public. Yeah.
Fucking yeah. humanity, boo.
I can only take it at little doses now. Like, I'm getting back to where I used to be, but I'm like, I gotta tiptoe into it
okay.
for sure. Yeah. So our main guy gets a call at this time from his mom, because that's who he lives with. And she dies and turns while she's on the phone with him. That was cool.
That was dope.
That was sad and terrible all at the same time.
And again, that I like that we're at a point in, you know, human history where these potentially in a zombie apocalypse in the early days of, like, this mm-hmm. thing could happen. We have all these communications, you know, you could easily get in touch with anyone.
Right.
And then to you're like, oh, we're going to have him get in touch with his mom. And then she's going to turn into a zombie on the phone.
Right.
I'm like, shit.
Oh, when you just hear that, I'm like, oh, damn it.
And
yeah.
And my mind always wanders to these places where, what's happening on the other end of that phone?
Yeah.
You know, I know we're here on the train with these people and this is where I want to stay.
Mm-hmm.
But what's happening in that apartment complex right now?
Yeah.
Like, who got her? Like, what happened, you know?
And that only adds to the intensity of the movie. Because
yeah.
you are so confined to that little train car that you're like, what the fuck's happening? You know? Like, you know what's happening in there, but it's like, what is the rest of the world like? And you don't get to
right.
really see it.
We've got little glimpses
right.
on from the news feeds
mm-hmm.
or whatever, people checking social media, but, mm-hmm. you know, how did we devolve this quickly?
Yeah, exactly. So the mom turns over the phone and the train can't stop at its stops because there's chaos everywhere and districts are shutting down. And this is where we start to get like this man on the street footage that's so readily available on everybody's phones. People recording of like riots and just these people getting attacked. And like, oh, there's that one where the kids are skateboarding and the
yeah.
zombies start dropping from the helicopters that they've grabbed onto.
And then immediately get right back up.
Oh, man. Yeah, just thunk and then right back up. No problems. Damn.
Love that kind of footage.
Yeah, super good. And of course, we're also hearing the political spin on it of like, we're doing the best we can to contain this disaster.
Of course, yeah. Yep.
Here's our jizz right up in your face.
I like the juxtaposition of that coming through and then
yeah.
and then scenes of the city just in flames.
Shot that very well.
Yep.
They really shot that very well about this, the difference between that bullshit and what really is going on in real life. Like, it's that was fucking great.
Very fitting for the times we're in.
Absolutely it is. And we get this moment also where we kind of get more of that. Like, they pepper this in too. Like, we do get to know these characters where the little girl, she gives up her seat for one of the older sisters that we talked about at the beginning. And the dad tells her, like, you don't have to be so nice. Like, in this situation, you need to be out for only you. And she's like, but Granny's knees hurt all the time. Like, she's a sweet girl, and he just does not know her at all. Like,
where do you side in that statement?
You have to be for yourself, but you can let the old lady have a chair.
Okay, all right.
Let the lady sit, okay?
Shades of gray.
She's going to have to be a sacrifice later on because you're going to have to be out for yourself. So you might as well keep her comfy now until you need her, right?
Okay.
Like, that's what strategy is.
Let her rest those knees until you have to take them out so you can get your getaway.
Exactly.
All right.
You know, I don't want her dropping out too early. I might need her later on down the road.
Shit's chess, it ain't checkers.
Man, I might survive. You might be the first of us to die. I keep this strategy about me. the captain, the conductor, voices over and says they will make a stop at a station with military presence, apparently. And we also need to mention that we have this other couple that's in the mix, this husband and wife with the pregnant wife.
Yeah.
We can't forget them because that was my guy. That was the guy.
He's awesome.
He was super awesome.
You'll be excited to know if you liked him. He will be in the upcoming Marvel flick, The Eternals.
Nice.
He's one of the Eternals.
Okay, perfect. No, super good character. And our main guy actually calls in a favor to his people, or he's got a contact where he will not have to be quarantined once they hit this next stop with the military presence. The contact tells him to go to the East Square as opposed to the main one, and he'll have guys waiting on him and his daughter. So we get that little side story. But at their stop, no one's there.
Hmm.
It's real quiet, which means shit's not good, right?
We get off the train.
Right.
Maybe we'll get saved.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this early in the movie.
Right.
I think things might go well.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
You know what? There's something about it that just tells me maybe not. That, you know, I don't know.
See if I were making this movie, everyone would be fine.
You would save them right then and that'd be it?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Would that not be a great movie where they get on and there's nobody there, right? And then every time they just keep going and there's never any zombies.
Yeah. For the next hour.
And it's think there's going to be? Oh, shit.
It's the ultimate troll zombie movie.
Oh, my God. You are literally Rickrolling.
Yeah. And that would be like they would just keep going for the next hour. And every time they turn a corner, you're expecting a horde of zombies.
And the music, everything.
Nothing. Yeah, the music bills, bills. And then as soon as they turn that last corner, like an hour later, it's like, here's a non-zombified military. You're like, hey, we're all good here. We got the antidote. Never going to give you up.
Never going to let you down.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Let's make that movie.
All right.
Let's fucking make that movie. Oh, my God. That's great. I love that.
That shit's going to win Oscars, son.
I mean, I'd be super pissed, but then I would think that was the most cool thing I'd ever seen in my life.
And then maybe after like 20 seconds of credits when people are still in their seats like pissed off, like it would just smash cut to me sitting in a director's chair going, "Huh? Huh?
Don't like it. Fuck you.
Finger guns."
In like a smoking jacket and shit, all pompous.
Yeah, but then to send the fans home happy, I would get accosted by a horde of zombies.
Yes.
And then.
That would work.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, why aren't we telling our secrets? Let's write this movie. Can I be in it? Can I have a part?
Absolutely.
Can I have like a Stanley-esque cameo in your movies?
All right.
Because now you're just going to be a movie director. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After this.
Right. Yep. Let's get a talking kangaroo in there somewhere.
Oh, every movie will have a talking kangaroo. Maybe the cameos are just going to be you and a talking kangaroo.
Holy fucking shit. I'm in for this.
So like whatever the theme of the movie is, like it'll be you hopping along with a zombie kangaroo. And then my next movie.
I've trained him, right? Like we work together.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We're.
Yeah, like you'll have a shirt on that says like Lily's Kangaroo Tours. So clearly you were a kangaroo trainer when the zombie apocalypse went down, and now you and your zombie kangaroo are hopping through the apocalypse.
We're Rue Raiders.
Rue Raiders, yeah. You're like, oi, hey, you want to see a zombie kangaroo?
Yes.
Come on, man.
Totally develop an accent. Yeah. Yes. Yes. I would have the crocodile hunter's hat or whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they're like, yeah, I want to see. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, I want to see a zombie kangaroo. It's like, pop, pop, pop. Gotcha. Boy, gotcha, mate. You're fucking dead.
How long do we have till he deteriorates and rots?
I would imagine years.
Years, you think?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I mean, those zombies drop from helicopters and get right back up with no damage. They're good.
They're fine. They're fine. Oh, my God. I could store weapons in his pouch.
Yeah. You don't need him, though, because he can punch. He's
That's
a scrapper.
True. He is his own weapon.
Although, if you need long range.
I might need a rifle at some point.
Because eventually, you're going to get someone that's like, hey, that zombie lady wants me to come over and see your zombie kangaroo. Fuck that.
Right.
Oh, get the bow and arrow.
Come on over, mate.
Come on, Raj. Click.
Come on, Raj. Yes.
Yeah.
I love this movie. 5 stars.
What do we call it? We need a movie.
I don't know. We have to think on it. We can't rush that decision.
All right.
We'll figure it out.
I like how you also went from like zombie cameo to main player.
Right. Well, you wrote that. You're the writer. I don't. Yeah.
First draft. That was the first draft.
I said cameo. You've now turned me into a whole thing. Honestly, I'm just the movie. That's just the movie.
Yep. That's what it's turning into.
Just the adventures of Lili and Aru.
And I want to have like Easter eggs. So that hour when people are walking and no zombies are coming, you'll be able to see you and Raj in the background, like way off in the distance.
Yeah.
You got to look for it, though. It's not obvious.
Just me and the Rue hitting somebody like.
Yep.
Oi.
Early on in the movie, when someone is using the bathroom at the train station, there's going to be a poster for Lili's kangaroo tours. Get to see a pre-zombified Lili and Raj.
This is my favorite thing that you've ever said in the entirety of me knowing you.
Until the next thing.
Honest to God, I can't. No, I don't think anything's going to top me being a movie star with a zombified kangaroo.
All right.
Hopping through the zombie apocalypse where nothing happens. Yeah.
Actually, that was. Walking through the zombie apocalypse where nothing happens, that's like seasons 2 on of The Walking Dead.
Right.
Now that I think of it, fuck.
Just keep walking.
Yeah. But no zombified kangaroos in that shit show.
Shit, no. God, that's so good. Oh, man, I love it. All right. Train to Busan. We stop, and nobody's there. No zombified kangaroos. No Leanne with an accent. Just nobody there. No military, anything. And thank goodness, I thought all the doors would open at one time, but luckily they didn't. We saved that travesty for later. They open up individually. And the passengers get out, train car by train car, super quiet. They make their way through the vacant train station where our main guy and his daughter are going to take a different route.
Because they got their boy waiting for him, allegedly.
Exactly. And they get followed by the guy we find in the bathroom, like the homeless guy or the crazy guy, whatever. And meanwhile, the rest of the passengers are making their way down. A lot of them on escalators.
Oh, man.
That which is escalator is a fear of mine anyway. But
we've talked about this before.
Oh, my
God.
As soon as I saw that shit.
I thought about you when I was rewatching it. I was like, oh, with Lili's fear of escalators, she's got to be flipping out right now.
I don't want to ever take an escalator again down, like, especially like, oh my God, because they're taking the escalators down. And then all of a sudden you see the military. They are all now zombies. That whole place has been taken over by nothing but zombies. And you've got these people on escalators who can't damn stop. Because they're on escalators.
And then they turn around to run, and they're essentially running upstairs that are coming down.
Exactly, which means you ain't going nowhere.
Nah.
I learned that at prom. My poor friend went down the escalator too fast. Did I tell you that story?
No.
So I wasn't allowed to have a date, so my two friends and I went to go down the escalator. We had to have an escalator because it was Alabama. So we wanted to all come down the escalator at prom when we got our names announced, you know?
Oh, my God, that's
right?
So precious.
Right in fucking Gadsden. So the three of us were first on the list and we got a miscue. And so my friend goes down the escalator and they're like, no, come back. Right. And so she's in a dress, a prom dress, trying to run up an escalator. That motherfucker is fast. Okay. You can't run up an escalator with heels and a dress. So I, being the good friend that I am, we had talked about if there's an issue, what do we do? And I'm like, oh, stop button. I'm going to save the day. When you hit a stop button on an escalator, it just stops. Like, there's no slow to a stop. So my poor friend in her dress and heels fell up the escalator.
Oh, yes.
Then we couldn't get the escalator started back again. So we had to wait. A guy had to come up, fix an emergency button that I didn't have access to, and then I messed up prom. But don't worry, once I got down the escalator, I tripped over my dress and
God damn.
So that was my junior prom.
This is why you were homecoming queen and not prom queen.
Exactly. Yeah. They stripped me of that potential title when I hit the emergency stop button.
No escalator for homecoming?
No escalator for homecoming. Mm. No, just heels in football turf.
What kind of low rent bullshit is that?
Right?
God bless.
So anyways, escalators, nasty things.
Yeah.
They're fast. You can't go back up them. And then the whole time I'm yelling, I'm like, just flop over the side because there's stairs in the middle between the two escalators. But not everybody figures that out, but some of them do.
I mean, those zombies come so quick.
They do. They come so freaking fast and they are everywhere. And one of them, so people are running back up the escalators, running back up the stairs into the station. And one of the zombies, because our main guy and his daughter have gotten separated now and down the hall, and one of the zombies comes after the daughter. And I was like, oh, shit. I was like, oh, no, we're going to have a child death early. I was like, we're going to have it.
Right.
But we didn't. Luckily, the pregnant lady's husband, our guy, swoops up and knocks that fucking zombie out with his elbow. Just elbows the hell out of that zombie.
That was a powerhouse elbow.
Here's one of those instances where I yelled.
Yeah.
I put in here. I was like, I freaking yelled.
Well, because now we're at the point where we've established, like, I like this person.
Yes.
I don't like this. So now the stakes are raised. So now we have our players and we're like, I don't want him to die.
Right. Mm-hmm. Immediately.
But it's a zombie movie and, you know, he's probably gonna.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I knew. As soon as you like somebody.
Yep.
It's usually when you really love them, it's like, oh, God. So our main guy gets attacked as well, but he's okay. And the passengers start making their way back to the train. As they're getting in, the zombies, they're getting in the trains, right? Like, we have a group that's trying to hold them back at glass doors at the station, which includes our pregnant lady, the husband that we like, and our main guy, and then others are making their way to the train. And that scene where they're getting on the train and then the zombies start coming out from the hallway overhead. They start busting through that glass and they're falling down on the train in between the passengers. That was pretty gnarly.
Really well shot.
Yes. Yes, it was.
It really, that's one of those moments where the intensity just goes right the hell up.
Uh-huh. And I put here, holy shit, I yelled again. Like, I just was like, oh my God, because I wasn't expecting it, right?
Yeah, so, when they do this a couple different times in the movies because, like you said, they can't open doors. They can't figure that out. But when just the force of them eventually pushes through the glass and they just start tumbling out, barreling over each other.
Just like a wave of them.
Yeah.
That, and they're crawling over top of each other, just showing the magnitude. That's what makes it insanely amazing. And then one falls in between our little old ladies. Oh, and its arms all bent up behind its head.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just gross. So our old ladies get separated. We need to mention that because that's going to come back. And the conductor starts to depart while our main guy and the husband that we like are still trying to contain the zombies behind that glass door. And then, again, the glass breaks and they all just start pouring over top of each other. Oh, God. So this group is now running for the train. And they're being chased, and luckily, the baseball player, our main guy, and the husband. The husband gets riot gear.
Yeah.
He's trying to get on the train, and he diverts, and he gets riot gear, and he's like, "Look out!" And he just starts blasting through freaking zombies. That was cool.
Just a dude's dude.
A man's man.
Just like this is the situation I am in, and I am gonna wreck house because somebody needs to.
Love a good man who wrecks house.
Right?
Yeah.
Especially in a zombie apocalypse.
Exactly. That's what you're looking
for. Too many prissy bitches in the zombie apocalypse. Don't let the zombie bite me, man.
Like, oh, how sweet. Y'all match outfits on the reg. Okay, well, he's gonna puss out. So he's not gonna save you.
Mm-mm. Oh, yeah. Your boy might talk a big game. Here, I'm just going to pick up this riot shield and bash this zombie in the head.
Excuse me. My dad bod bro of a husband's going to take care of me. I'm cool.
Hey, maybe we can use that puka shell necklace of yours later on to identify you when you're a zombie.
Oh, not getting good flexibility or running well in those skinny jeans? Shocker. You fucks. So anyways, he gets on. Luckily, he gets the right gear, gets on. So it's our main guy, the husband, and the little baseball player, the sweet baseball player, who are now grouped to themselves, right? That's the three.
Yeah, we've essentially separated the survivors at this point.
Mm-hmm. And they are on their way to Busan. Luckily, the pregnant lady has grabbed our main guy's daughter and got one of the old ladies and the homeless guy there together. And they get caught trying to sneak into a bathroom for safety. And it's just that gnarly freaking face just chomping through that bathroom door.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. And they are in car 13. The wife calls, I think, or he calls his wife. And so our guys are in car 9. And our other group with the pregnant wife and the daughter is in car 13. An unlucky car to be in, some say. So they're going to just have to go. It's 4 cars away. We're just going to have to go. So the husband is in front, the baseball player's in the middle, and our main guy is in the rear. And they tape their arms and they're ready to go. They're just going to have to knock out zombies throughout each car to get, oh, man. And I was like, oh, shit, it's like the Raid. I was like, we just got to go through the levels. Oh, my gosh. And so they go in and it's super intense, right? Just them going in and like our guy's just punching zombies.
Yeah.
He's just breaking necks and shit. Oh, my goodness. And then our little baseball player with the bat just knocking them out.
Just cracking them.
It felt real. It felt so real. Like that bat hit hard. Did it
there,
not?
There was a definite the sound effect of the crunch, the thunk. Like really, really good.
Yeah.
Also, we've established in this zombie universe, like, headshots don't really kill them. You know, like damaging the brain doesn't necessarily kill the zombie.
Right. I'm trying to figure out what did the neck breaking kill them, or are they just
incapacitated them for a while? Like, I mean, there was really nothing that stopped these zombies.
Yeah, I couldn't tell that there was either.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they just have to work their way through, and then it's sad. They come up on that car filled with the baseball team. And the kid with the bat, he's having a hard time. He just freezes, right? But luckily, they go through a tunnel, and it gets dark, and the zombies become disoriented. It's like they can't see. They're just working on what they hear. So that was pretty cool.
I like how, as this movie goes on, we very quickly establish the rules of these zombies.
Right.
You know, we very quickly learn that, hey, if they can't see us, if there's nothing more than just newspaper between us, they lose interest. They don't charge, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We can hit these things. They'll fall down, but, you know, headshots or damage to the brain doesn't really kill them. Oh, we get dark and then they get disoriented in the dark. All right.
Okay.
We've got tunnels coming up. Cool.
Uh-huh.
Very, very quick paced with the rules of the universe. And I really appreciated that about this movie.
Yep. Me too. So we find the zombies. They follow sound. So our guys enter the next car and they distract them with a ringing phone, which was smart. So they get through. So they're just kind of making it through and they make it to the bathroom. But then we get out of the tunnel and light enters. So the boys are now in a separate bathroom by themselves and everybody's locked up, but they're okay. So also we have this cute little light moment in the bathroom where it was the husband's phone that they used to distract the zombies.
Oh, that's right.
They make fun of him for his ringtone while he's in there, and he doesn't know. He was like, well, how do you change it? And the little baseball player, he starts laughing. Like, it was super cute. So we do get these light moments when we need them, you know, when we're learning these characters. So then our fund guy, our main guy, he realizes that they have a tunnel coming up, right? And it's going to give them, what, 2 minutes of dark?
About 2 minutes, yep.
About 2 minutes to work through. And so they can reunite with the other big group that's ahead of them. There's another big group of survivors that they're trying to get to so that they're all in one car. And we hear this transmission, I believe, don't we? Don't we hear? Or no, our baseball player gets a phone call, right? And he's communicating with his little girlfriend that's in the other big group of survivors.
Yep.
And we have this, I can't remember what he was. He said he was a COO of some company. And he's like, we don't know that they're not infected. They shouldn't be in here with us, basically. He's going to be a real shitty player in this movie.
Uh-huh.
Which we already got a dose of him earlier in the movie, but now it's like, this is where he hits big time.
Because you always, and again, in a zombie movie, when you're establishing your characters, you've always got to have this character. Mm-hmm. And now, it's just seeing what we've experienced in the real world in the last year and a half during this pandemic, you know that dude is a real fucking dude.
We've got more than just one on a train.
Yeah.
We had more than just one of those in that fucking train car.
Correct.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, good. So, this guy doesn't want to let them in, which is a valid point, but fuck off, right? So we get back to our bathroom groups, and they're trying to make it through this car in the dark, and what they have to do is they have to crawl on the baggage shelf, the shelf that you put your bags overhead,
which was so cool.
That was a neat idea, but I was like, well, this is where I'd have died, because I'd be knocking down a shelf, I'd get halfway and a brace would break, and then it's like, oh well, we're fucking dead. So, yeah, but super smart. That was a super good idea.
Yeah. I always like, in not just zombie movies, but any good movie, like where you have action, where you have horror, whatever. If you put a twist on it like that, uh-huh. You're like, all right, that's a good idea.
Right.
That's good thinking.
And it makes you think, like, are you this person? Because I sometimes will do this if I'm somewhere waiting or sitting or whatever. I try to think, okay, if chaos happened. Like I'm all the time, and maybe this is just me being an anxiety-ridden person, but I'm like, if we had a shooter, if somebody walked through the door, if I'm at a bank and we get robbed, or I'm at a store and we get robbed, like, do you sit and think of, like, where you would go, like, what your strategy would be?
Depending on the situation.
Okay. Well, I just do that at a lot of places. If I have a moment where I'm like, you know, oh, this is calm, I'm like, okay, so what if somebody was trying to murder me? Like, I'm constantly thinking of, like, and like, even in this building, I'm like trying to think of where would I go? What room would I get into? Like, where would I hide? You know, like, I did that as a child, and like, now I do it as an adult.
Do you do it based on real world shit? Or you, if Train to Busan zombies actually exist?
Well, No, it's usually just real world. Like, what if somebody came in with a gun or was a crazy person? Like, we've had some, and to my defense, we've had some crazy people enter our lobby here at the radio station.
This is true. We're not in the best part of the neighborhood.
We are not. We are not next to the best building in the world. And we have gotten some people in here who didn't want to leave. And so it's like, I'm like, okay, where would I go? You know? Like, is there a secret compartment? How do I get, I don't know how to get out of the garage door. I'm like, do I go out through that way? What do I do? You know?
I always just find myself incredibly on guard because I trust no one.
Right.
And so you'll always get people that come, hey man, you know, can I talk to you for a second? No.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and while this person is coming up to your front, I'm always like looking to the side for the you
what's
know.
My six?
Yeah, right. You're looking at the raptor in front of you when you should be waiting for the raptor on the side.
That's
oh,
where they come in.
Clever
from
girl.
The sides.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now when it comes to the whole active shooter situations,
right.
and you know, and you and I have both had to take those active shooter drills or watch those videos.
Yeah.
And they all seem kind of bullshit because, oh, I hear guns going off. Well, let me just get up from my desk and hide under it.
Right.
Or sit here or barricade the door.
Mm-hmm.
No, like if you hear guns popping off in your office, you're going to lose your shit and just start scattering and running.
Exactly.
Because you're scared as fuck.
But I had it so pumped into me as a kid. My mom always told me, she was like, if we're like at a mall and you hear shots, just get down. Just lay down. She was like, act like you've been shot. And I'm like, but what if they walk around in some movies? They walk around and they try to shoot the ones that are already laying down. What if they shoot me again? What if they poke me with something and I say, ow, that hurt, and then I'm caught?
Well, then you had a good run.
I need medication. I'm on edge all the time.
So a movie like Train to Busan, probably not something you should be watching.
Well, now I have to think about, can I crawl on a baggage shelf?
So in the zombie apocalypse, would you stick with a group or would you just like go solo?
Oh, I'd like to say that I would go solo. People are going to fuck you up. People
exactly.
fuck you up every time.
Exactly.
People are the one to fear. If there's anything that Walking Dead did teach us, it's that people are the one to be scared of.
Right. Right.
You know?
The people are the Walking Dead.
Right. I'd like to think that I'd clear out like a top story of a house and like knock the stairs out and have like my own way to get in and keep myself safe.
I'd be what's
be
up.
Be out scavenging, you know, and shit. Yep. Mm.
So you gotta think, my personal go-to plan for if the zombie apocalypse breaks out, you figure and we saw this during the pandemic where it's like, hey, we might be short on toilet paper for a week or two, and everyone hoarded the fuck out of that shit, right? Mm-hmm. People ran to your Walmarts, your Targets, your grocery stores, and they just hoarded that shit. I'm just going to a nutrition supplement store, and I'm loading up on like protein shakes and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the place to go. People aren't thinking of that place.
Right? Everyone's right. Running to their Walmart. I have to imagine even the in shape people are running to their Walmarts and try to get what little scraps they can get.
Right.
I'm just taking your protein powder, bruh.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's a smart idea. That's a smart move. Those little stores like that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like when I learned that I could raid the baby aisle for hand sanitizer.
Really?
Nobody, you could get Germex and like wipes and stuff in the baby aisle. And I was like, this hasn't been touched yet by these simpletons.
Also would lead one to believe that people don't really care about their kids in that situation. Putting themselves before the children. Got it.
Right. Fuck a diaper. You're going to wear 3 rolls of toilet paper.
Yeah.
Pretty much what they did.
Yeah, that's the message that I'm seeing there.
Yeah.
I gotta get my toilet paper and fucking frozen pizzas before you get anything for you, kid.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they're low on the totem pole. Them
humanity.
Little
we deserve
tax
a zombie
deductions.
Apocalypse.
Yeah. Yep.
And even in the zombie apocalypse, if it were to start, I'm sure you'd still have people, no, this is fake news. There's no zombie apocalypse actually happening. Like, you just literally saw the videos of people getting eaten up.
Calm down. This is Trump's plan to get back in office.
Yeah.
These are good patriots fighting a good fight for democracy.
By the end of the week, you would have that mutt with the thin blue line flag, the don't tread on me flag. He would then add a third don't bite me brah flag.
Yeah.
Trump's America.
Oh, man. Goodness gracious. So Train to Busan, right?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah. So, okay. So they're on the shelf, right? And they're crawling through, and a bag is thrown to distract the zombies, and they're about to make it through to the next car, except the homeless guy, he missteps and he falls.
There's like a little rag on the seat or whatever, and it causes
him
to slip.
Mm-hmm. So our main guy is now, you know, I think the daughter even tells him like, you're only out for yourself in your life. Like, you don't know anybody. You don't care about anybody else. And now our main guy is helping this guy, right? So he's changing. He's getting better. He's getting better. He's caring for people. He's taking care of his folks.
It's almost like he's having a character arc in a zombie apocalypse.
OMG, isn't that crazy?
What?
So he goes to rescue him, and then, oh shit, they get out of the tunnel, so the light is back on, and they have to hide in between seats. And, you know, and, oh gosh, and they make just enough attention to capture the attention of, like, a rogue zombie. They're not fat, you know, but it's like something's piqued its interest. And so they decide they're just going to have to run for it. And when they go to run for it, oh my God, the guy steps on a soda can. Crunch.
So when you were first watching this and he was counting down, he's like, we're going to go on 3, 1, uh-huh. 2. Did you think that the homeless guy was going to run on 2?
No. What I thought was going to happen, I thought the homeless guy was going to sacrifice himself. And I thought he was going to run and divert to the zombie, and that we were going to, our main guy was going to get out. That's what I thought he was going to do. I thought he would run early and do that.
You saw the good.
I did.
I saw the shitty.
You saw the shitty. No, I knew he was good. I felt like he was going to be good throughout this. And okay. I was proven to be correct, as we'll find later on.
Yes, you were.
Yeah.
Yes, you were.
Oh, man. So he hits the damn soda can. And, but luckily, They're running to get to the car with the other people, the big group of people, right? And they can't get in because it is tied off. And that group is staying so freaking quiet and not letting them in. They got the little girlfriend, got her mouth covered because they won't let them in.
The cheerleader that the baseball player is trying to call.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, like, we're here. Like, open up the door. And she's like the one that wants him in. And she's like, oh, shut up. You're going to kill us all.
Stomps the phone.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So they're trying to now smash in, and they do at this point, and they're getting in, and their relatives are trying to get them in, some of them, and the and then our guy, the husband, he gets bit at the door. He gets bit at the door.
Very quickly, too. He knocks
so fast.
He knocks one of the zombies down, and then that's the one that pops back up and just takes a chunk out of him.
Takes a chunk out of his hand, I think it was. And so that door that he's trying to hold back is breaking because he was trying to shut it, and it got shut on one of the zombies.
Yep.
And so our main guy is also got the baseball bat now, and he's trying to fight them off, and there's just too many of them. And so the bit husband asks our main guy to go and take care of his wife, and he will hold off the zombies. Oh, it was so sad.
And then his last words to the wife.
Oh.
Hey, our baby's name. Got it?
Oh, he named the baby. Because earlier in the film, the wife said something of like, my husband's too lazy to name the child because it was sleepy, I think she called it or whatever.
Yeah.
So, and our main guy is like, I'm so sorry. And he grabs the wife, yells out the name, and then the zombies start busting through the glass. And he gets such a good death because he's fighting them off. Like, he's holding them back. Like, he grabs one, doesn't he? And he holds him, like, sideways.
Using him as a barricade.
Essentially. And, like, and he's getting bit, and he's holding them back as he starts to turn. Like, you can see the vein, like, his veins, you know, turning.
The
and
eyes
like,
glassing over.
Oh, my God. That was a cool scene.
Went out like a hero.
Super big hero. And so that happens, and then their group makes it in. So the group kind of makes it in with each other. And then the sisters see each other because, remember, they were separated. And it's right before the one sister gets attacked.
Gets taken down by the horde.
That hurt.
They hit you up with back-to-back, just double whammies of fuck your feelings.
Double whammies. And also, I need to mention, because I made a note here, like, throughout the movie, the music in this movie, can we talk? Like, the music's very sad. Like, it's very emotional music that really gets you going, too. And I love that our main guy also knocks the shit out of that shitty old guy here.
Yeah,
I think
the COO.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm, the COO. But the attendants, they're safely now confined in a car, but the attendants.
I also do need to add one thing with the dude that we like so much. I am really glad that we didn't see him come back as a zombie later on.
Right.
Because it's like, I liked him too much.
That
I don't
want
to see that.
I didn't want
see
him
it.
To come back.
I also, the first time I watched this movie, I was thinking, oh man, don't come back and zombify your wife. That would be fucked up. I don't want to see that.
No.
But we never see him again as a zombie. And I was like, all right, you had your hero death. That was cool.
Yeah, I agree. The attendants and the people in that car decide that the group cannot stay. That just got in there. Can't stay.
Yeah, because the crotchety fucker, he's like, oh, they're infected. Look at them. They got the shit.
Yeah, but it's like there's nothing. Their eyes haven't glassed over.
Yeah,
like there's telltale.
Yeah.
There's obvious signs of when a zombie is a zombie in this movie.
No bites. No nothing.
No. So they decide that they need to move to the next. In the captions, it's a vestibule. Vestibule, which I had to Google that shit. It is a hall or a chamber. Because I didn't know what the fuck it was.
Learning new words in the zombie apocalypse.
So they get tied off in the next car, which is the car above this group that has kicked them out. So we have our main guy, the baseball player, the pregnant lady, the daughter, and now the baseball player's girlfriend who wanted to go with them. So they're in this car that's above the rest of the passengers, and they get tied off with neckties. And then, what a stunning turn of events. The sister who's still alive sees her zombie sister at the door. And it's this very calm moment. And she's talking about her sister and is like, you always helped others, like before you helped yourself. And then she looks back at the people who are tying off the door. And she's like, and they're yelling and they're, you know, they've shunned the other group. And she's like, what a load of shit. Like, what a load of shit these people are. And She sees her sister and she opens the freaking door.
Did you see that coming?
Did not see that coming.
So good.
But so great, because fuck those people.
Yeah.
They deserve to die.
If I am stuck in the zombie apocalypse with a bunch of shitheads, that's how I'm going out.
Yeah. Dude, that was so amazing. Holy shit.
I also love, there are certain movies where, okay, we've got too many survivors at this point. We're fast tracking it to the end.
Yeah.
We got to wipe them all out.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's how you do it.
That's a hell of a way to
go. That's a hell of a way to do it.
And
I love the moment where the living sister is at the door and mm-hmm. you can see the zombified sister
yeah.
and they're just kind of, you know, looking at each other. And, you know there's nothing going on in the zombie's head other than, like, I just want to eat brains and shit.
But she's not aggressive about it. Like, we did get that calm from the zombie
right.
sister. But
yeah.
still.
And then just like, yeah, I'll open this door.
I'm going to open it.
Fuck all y'all.
Oh, God,
and,
that was so good.
And the music built so well. And just the slow turn of the dude as he realizes she's about to open the door.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Everything about that scene was so well done.
And then you get the shot from the car above with our main players, and they're looking at it through the door. The door's been kind of hazed out, but you see the guy like hit up against it and just blood just going everywhere.
Yeah.
Like that was a hell of a shot too. So now things have calmed after all that mess.
Relatively speaking, yeah.
We're approaching Busan. Our main guy has like a little good little touching moment with his daughter. Cause again, these characters are growing in all this mess and he's trying to reach his ex-wife, but with no luck, but he does get a call from his contact, Kim. I think Kim was his
yep.
name. It was the guy he worked with from the beginning. We see him at his place of work and
yeah.
we see this guy and he says that Busan is safe. It's leading in defense. But I'm a little confused maybe about this whole part about this guy asking if it was their fault. Is that because of the big trade or the big sale that they made at the beginning of the movie?
Yeah, because it's this biotech mm-hmm. company that, you know, leaked this virus or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And they were not involved with the experiments
right.
or whatever. But
they were selling the shares of the company or they were making a big
yeah,
something in
yeah,
the
yeah.
beginning. Yeah. So this poor guy is on the phone. He's like, was this our fault? Did we do this? And our main guy's like, no, we didn't do this. But it was super sad, you know. But you can feel like he carries that, like, maybe I did cause this. Maybe I was a part of this, right? And then to hammer that home, you know, he goes into the bathroom and he's trying to wash the blood off, but the blood stays because he's got blood on his hands. Breaks down a bit. And then the train stops. Not because they're at Busan, but because we are blocked. There's an interference on the track.
Because you knew that had to happen.
It had to happen. I wasn't thinking it was going to happen, but I was like, oh yeah, well of course there has to be a block in the train.
I mean, because we gotta lay down the situation we're in. I mean, we need to create tension. We need to create drama. It's like we've already got off the train at one point to mm-hmm. disastrous results. There's got to be something on these tracks, right?
Right.
Of course, that's the next logical step.
So the conductor radios over to anybody who's in the train and says that there is a train to their left that they can take. So the conductor makes it out, and he's trying to find an empty train. The rest of them head out as well. Meanwhile, the shitty old guy and the attendant we find are still alive in the bathroom.
Which initially upset me.
Me too.
Because he was still alive.
Yeah.
For one. But then I was just like, okay, he didn't get a good enough death.
Right.
So maybe later.
Maybe later.
Maybe later.
Keep that in mind. The old guy, he just keeps getting shittier and shittier, says that the coast is clear and he tells the attendant to go first. And he pushes the attendant into a zombie. So he sacrifices the attendant to get out of the train. And the zombies are following. And it is, again, once again, chaos, right? And then here comes a train on fire, because of course.
Which was awesome.
That was cool. That was a cool scene. And then it separates the group, because it gets wedged in between the group, right, where it falls off the track. So The baseball player and his girlfriend are on their own trying to make it across by going through the trains. And the shitty guy shows up and throws the girlfriend into the zombies in which he's running from.
Like a bitch.
Man, and one of them bites her damn leg. And she turns. And while she turns, she is in the arms of her boyfriend. And he's crying with her, and she convulses and turns, and then she just immediately starts biting him. I thought maybe he'd get away from her, but no, he didn't. No, he's dead. He's gone now.
He out.
Oh, shit. So the remaining part of the group that got separated is actually wedged in between trains. Like, one tried to fall on top of another one, so they're kind of wedged.
Yeah, so the one train is kind of on its side at a slant.
And they wake up to that. To the window, like being right in front of them on the train, and the zombies just pounding through like trying to get them through the window.
How intense was that?
Oh, that was a hell of a shot.
I think a lot of times and I know this is now something you've been to, Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios.
Uh-huh.
So whenever I watch a movie like this, I think this would make a great maze.
Yes, I do
too. For Halloween Horror Nights.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
Like, initially you're just walking through the train, and then you get out onto the train yard, and then you go through that little area where you just got zombies pounding on the windows and the train's tilted at you.
Uh-huh.
Imagine how cool that would be.
That would be gnarly. That would be super good.
Yeah, real world, not so much. Kind of shit your pants terrified. Halloween Horror Nights, Universal Studios, fuck yeah, sign me up.
Where you can't touch me? Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Sounds great.
Either situation, you're still surrounded by people you hate.
Yeah, true. So the conductor, meanwhile, finds a train, and here comes the shitty guy barreling towards that train, because the conductor's got the train moving down the track going towards Busan, and the shitty guy comes barreling through, and he rolls his freaking ankle on a railing, and I'm like, oh, that's great.
Here it comes.
It didn't seem epic enough, you know, to whatever. So the conductor tries to be a good guy and save him, but of course the shitty guy throws him to the wolves. Bad move.
Never be the good dude for someone you don't know in the zombie apocalypse.
I think, you know what, I tried to think about it, and I would have left him. I think I would have left him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I hate to say that about me, but I'd have left him.
But, you don't know him.
Right, you don't. And it looked like an unsavable situation.
Not only that, but you also have to take into account, it's like, okay, is that person willing to sacrifice me to save themselves?
Mm-hmm.
Probably, fuck you.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So he get eaten, he get bit, and the shitty guy makes it to the train that is moving already.
Don't like it.
Our group that's stuck underneath the train starts crawling. They find a place where they can crawl out. And they end up getting trapped. That delays us a bit, but luckily our main guy is trying to get them out, and the zombies start breaking through the windows. Oh, they break through that last window. And then the homeless guy holds them back. He was a good dude. He does sacrifice himself for the pregnant lady and the daughter to crawl to safety.
And as our main player is trying to unwedge that blockage from their little path out,
mm-hmm.
and right as they get out, all the other windows collapse, and just this dude gets swarmed.
Oh, God.
Fucking just. And the claustrophobic nature of it, and then just all that shit piling in. Just, oh, fuck.
Yeah. They just pour in. It's like, it looks like water. Like, they just pour in because there's so many of them. They're just falling.
I did think a lot of times about another movie we've reviewed on this podcast, The Poseidon Adventure.
Yeah.
When they're just, they're stuck on that underwater ship. So you're absolutely right. Yeah. When the windows break and it's zombies, has that same kind of claustrophobic feeling of The Poseidon Adventure, which you should check out over at HuntsvilleHomeVideo.com.
That was such a good movie.
Damn right it was.
God, I love that one. I need to watch that one again. I need to go back to our archives. So now we are down to three survivors. Four if you count a fetus. which, depending on which political side you belong to, you either do or you don't.
Exactly where I was going to go.
Yeah! When I saw... I knew you were with me on that.
You saw the little glimmer in my eyes, like, ah!
I was like, oh, we're on the same page! So,
even in the zombie apocalypse, we got divisive issues on whether or not this is a life.
We still got red and blue, baby.
Whoo!
So, I'm glad we had that moment.
Yeah, that was good.
So our survivors are running towards the train to Busan, and every damn zombie is coming out of everywhere, out of every train, out of every nook and cranny. They are just pouring in.
And what I loved about this was you can tell it at certain moments, there's a little bit of CG added, you know, for like the big moments where, you know, you have a, say, a typhoon of zombies that are just like pouring over each other. But for the most part, there's just 100, 150 extras all zombied up, just running after you, because it's not absurdly large numbers, but it's still a lot. And there's something more terrifying about being chased by people that you can tell are like there on set running and not just a CGI wave of shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, that has to be intense for the actors, even though they're acting. Cause it's like you mentioned Halloween Horror Nights, like, you know, it's all fake. You're going to be fine. But it's still, when somebody's coming after you in the flesh, it's like, oh shit.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's scary and you feel that on the screen.
Yeah. And just the way they shot that one particular scene, the overhead shot where our heroes are in the foreground.
I was going to mention that.
And then all of the zombies just start running like left, right and center. Mm-hmm. And they just start converging as they're trailing behind them.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, shit. Like, we can tell our heroes are going to get to the train, but that train ain't moving that quick. And those zombies are fucking running.
Uh-huh.
Oh, shit.
Uh-huh. So luckily they do make it to the train, and they get on the train. Our three people get on the train, but one of the zombies, I thought this was super cool how they did this. One of the zombies latches on and he's being dragged. He's on like a bar on the bottom of the back of the train. And then all of the other zombies start latching on to that one.
Yeah.
And so then they just start piling up on top of each other until you have like this blanket of zombies, and they're all able to run on top of each other because they're all conjoined together. I didn't see that because I just thought, well, they could easily overrun this train. How do we do this? Like you said. And then that's how they did it. That was freaking cool.
Super intense moment.
Yeah.
And our main guy's just wailing away trying to get that one zombie that's holding onto the train that's allowing all these other zombies to latch on. And that boy is not letting go.
Which is so unbelievable, but it's like, I believe it. Like, I feel like, okay, they've got the strength to do it. That's fine. I'll believe this. Yeah. Whatever. You know.
Just wailing away on that wrist, and it's not breaking. It's not doing anything.
And he's on the ladder that goes up onto the train. So, like, he's having to, like, fling at zombies that are right, because they're running. Like, one gets up and he starts running on the blanket, the chain of zombies, and he has to like knock him out of the way, so he's hanging off of the ladder. Dude, that was intense.
Uh-huh.
That was super intense. But he finally gets them off of the train, and the zombies are off, and so he goes to the cockpit, and they find the shitty old guy there who is in the process of turning into a zombie. So our main guy runs out and he shuts the door thinking that's going to be okay, but this guy's in the process of turning, so he's still alive and he can figure out, he knows doors. He can figure out doors. He gets out of the door and he can still speak. And I'm like, throw him off!
Right?
Now that you have the chance to do it, he's like not about himself. He's still like human. I was like, throw him the fuck off. But we don't do that. We wait.
Let him finish his little dying words.
God, I would have yeeted him off that freaking train.
Oh, fuck yes.
I would have yeet.
Straight yeet.
Straight yeet that motherfucker deserves.
Today's forecast, high levels of yeet.
Dense yeet.
The yeet index is off the train.
Oh, man. So he completely turns, and our main guy has to fight him to get him off the train. And as he's fighting him, he get bit.
Takes a big old chunk out of that hand.
Takes a big old chunk out of that hand before our main guy ties himself off with a chain. And he yeets them both over the railing, but luckily he's on the chain, so he stays on the train. On the chain, on the train.
which again, are that dickhead CEO still didn't get a gruesome enough death.
He didn't.
I need, like, I'm glad he's dead. I wanted him to go out worse.
I wanted to see him pulled apart.
Yeah.
Like, we hadn't really seen people pulled apart. We just see them bit and they move on. I needed him pulled apart. or cut in half by the train, like something.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we didn't get that. That's the one unfortunate part. So anyways, our main guy is, he's bit and he doesn't have much time because they turn very fast. So he takes the pregnant lady to show her how to operate the train, tells his daughter it'll be safe in Busan. And it's so sad. And she's crying like, stay with me. Don't leave me. But, and it is like, we're not holding back on the emotions. This child is crying. This man is crying. And I start to cry. Like, I'm getting teary-eyed. This is terrible. And
also, well done acting on that child's part.
Yes.
Because it's hard for a lot of child actors to convey that type of emotion.
Oh, no. It was legit. Uh-huh. Like, it was literally her parent dying.
Almost as if, you know, she had lived through a zombie apocalypse before.
I'm trying to figure out if they told her a lie that her dog died or something, or that her real father died to get her to do that.
Like,
I'm
action.
Trying to, right. Hey, by the way, Granny's dead. Action.
Hey, we're going to do this. We're going to do this one last take. Mm-hmm. But then you've got to get home because, yeah, your grandma's like.
If you don't show enough emotion here, we're going to kill your father. And action.
Okay, let's go.
Let's go. So they're both crying. I'm crying. And the dad runs outside. And this made me upset because he didn't say, I love you. He didn't give like the big emotional goodbye. You know, we didn't get that to her. Okay. I needed him to say, I love you, but he didn't. But then he's crying really hard. And then, oh, God. This is what got me. I was teary-eyed, and then this is what got me. Remember when I like yelled out with emotion as I'm crying? Yeah. This happened in this movie.
Okay.
I didn't know I was going to cry at this movie. But then he starts remembering, and you see these flashbacks of when the daughter was born.
And he's holding her as a little baby.
And he's holding her and looking at her. And it's cutting back and forth between those memories of him being a father and him starting to turn. And I lost it, dude.
I
don't know if I was just tired or whatever, but I lost it. I am yelling out. That was so sad to me. And then his eyes, ugh. And then his eyes turn, right? They get that glassy and you're seeing his veins and everything. And then what does he do? He smiles because he's thinking of his daughter and he turns. And I was so mad at you because I was like, I can't cry two movies in a row.
I told you last week there is going to be emotion in the zombie movie.
God. And then he falls off the train. He falls to his death so that he doesn't hurt his daughter and the woman. I am a wreck. Jesus Christ are my notes. That it got me. I wasn't expecting that at all.
Weren't expecting a little art house in this zombie film, weren't?
Oh, no,
were you?
No, I was not. So anyway,
that was a great moment that you don't typically get in a zombie movie. You really just turned up that emotion at the end there.
Mm-hmm.
And then that little, like you said, that little extra flair of him remembering the daughter as a baby, you know, it's just like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. And that, and when he falls off the train, like he willingly just falls lifelessly off the train, but you see that in the like it's his shadow.
Yeah, you don't see the physical body. You just see this like the silhouette.
You just see of the train and of him just falling. Like, oh, it was shot so beautifully.
And then and having that shot of because typically once someone turns, they immediately just turn into an emotionless chomping machine.
Mm-hmm.
And then to see that where the eyes are glassing over where he's actually turning and then that smile come out.
Mm-hmm.
You're just like, oh, God damn it.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Uh-huh.
But again, that's what a great zombie movie needs. You need that character that above all else, you're like, you need to make it out of here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be glad when you do, but it's going to hurt when you don't.
Uh-huh.
And it hurt when he didn't.
It hurts super bad. So we still have the pregnant lady and the daughter who are on the train, and they make it to the end of the line, and there's debris and burnt bodies on the track, and they're like approaching this tunnel. So they get off of the train, And again, dead bodies everywhere. So they start walking through the tunnel. And oh, and I like where that burnt hand moves. Like you get that little scare. That was good. So they go into the tunnel and it's very dark. And on the other side, we have the military because Busan is safe and they're snipers and they're going to shoot anything that comes through the tunnel. And they do not have enough sight to know whether or not these are zombies or good people or what's coming through the tunnel, right? And I'm yelling at this point. I am like, because I was like, you know, Night of the Living Dead. We get to the end of it. We get the last guy. He's safe. And then boom, a bullet through the head. And I was like, oh, shit. No, I can't do this again. And they get the order to kill him. Like, we can't tell, but you're going to kill him anyway.
Yeah, because they radio back to headquarters and they can you see clear signs of infection?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a clear sight. Well, you got to kill him.
Yeah. And just as they go, the little girl saves the day because she starts to sing the song that she was singing on her recital because we learn in the movie that she learned that song for her father. And that's why she couldn't get through it at the recital because the father didn't show up to the recital. Now the dad's dead. Now the child's singing the song in the tunnel, able to get through it. And thank God because the snipers don't shoot her.
And just crying her eyes out through that song,
tears.
Too. Just like right in the feels.
And then the army runs down to rescue them in the tunnel. And that is the end of Train to Busan.
A fine, fine entry.
A very fine film.
Into the zombie genre.
Very good. Really enjoyed that movie.
I told you it was good.
Yeah.
I told you it was. And that, like I said, that is the movie that reinvigorated my love of the zombie franchise.
I get that.
Because it was so watered down and it was so all over the place and everyone had a zombie movie and there were zombie comedy movies, you know, like Shaun of the Dead, which is good.
I like Shaun of the Dead.
I like Shaun of the Dead a lot. But then, you know, you also have your, what was that fucking movie where everyone's a zombie and this zombie falls in love with like a living person.
I know what you're talking about, but I don't know the name of it.
Yeah, yeah. So then there was shit like that, and then there's just like Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead remake, which was dog shit.
That was the one, them in the mall, the guy from Modern Family's in it too, isn't it?
Right, he is in that.
He was the shitty guy.
I thought that movie was a piece of shit. And Zack Snyder has a new zombie movie which came out on Netflix called Army of the Dead. Piece of shit. I fucking sat through that 2.5 hour train wreck.
Damn.
Oh, it was fucking awful. Like the first 20 minutes were great, and then 2 hours of this movie needs to fucking end.
Okay.
Yeah. It's shitty.
All right.
Did not like.
Well, I'll
Zack Snyder needs to stop making movies.
Ooh, not everybody's gonna like that. A lot of people, I feel like, suck on his wiener. Do they?
No.
Okay.
I don't think a lot.
Well, I just know the Snyder cuts, like.
Well,
like,
that's a little different. There's a very loyal fan base of his that just wanted that cut of the movie.
Okay.
Because that whole situation was a little fucked up to begin with, because Zack Snyder, while making that movie, his daughter passed away. And he left the project. Joss Whedon swooped in and changed everything into the piece of shit that we got originally.
Justice League.
And then fans were like, release the Snyder Cut. We want justice for the league or whatever the fuck. And then Zack Snyder made a 4-hour version of that movie, which we did not need.
Okay.
Which was still essentially the same boring piece of shit movie.
Oh.
Interesting. It's just now the piece of shit is longer.
Okay, well, maybe it's just because I see his name. I have seen his name a lot recently. Maybe I just thought everybody was all about him.
Man, I loved the dude for a minute. Like, when he made 300, I thought 300 was great.
That's that guy. Okay, we've had conversations about him. That's right.
Yeah, he peaked as a filmmaker with 300, in my opinion.
Gotcha, okay.
But now, so like with Army of the Dead, he put in all these little things that made no sense for the movie as it stands. But then he'll come out in interviews like, oh, I put this in here as a little Easter egg for the sequel that I have in mind that I may never make. This is going to be in an animated thing, which I may never make. And this idea here comes from the. I'm like, why don't you just make one good movie and then expand upon them later?
Right.
You dumb fuck.
Why don't you make just one good movie? That's a good insult. Yeah, right. That's good.
Well, wait, you did make one good movie. It was 300.
That's right. How about a second one, brah?
They did make a second 300, and that was dog shit.
I know they did. I just meant a second good
I know
movie.
What you did.
Yeah.
If Zack Snyder had died after making Justice League, he'd probably still be heralded as a genius.
Too bad you didn't die years ago, bro.
Yeah, too bad they still let you make movies. That's like I'm an unapologetic fan of Michael Bay. Michael Bay gets shit on a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever anyone says anything to me about Michael Bay negatively, I'm like, you do know Zack Snyder's alive, right?
Why do people shit on Michael Bay? Just because he's like explosion guy?
Yeah,
this thing?
Just big, dumb action explosions that...
Well, that's not bad. He's in his lane. That's his lane.
Right. It's got no plot. It's got no... It's dumb. It doesn't make any sense. It's big, dumb action explosion. I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what I want.
Right. It's okay to have those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you... Oh, man. If you... I wish you were a super into it film buff when this story originally came out, because holy shit, did I fucking laugh. So for a very long time, the movie nerd community absolutely sucked the tit of Christopher Nolan.
Right.
Like, he's the next Stanley Kubrick. He's this amazing guy, right? In Nolan we trust. That was the popular fan cry, right?
I heard that before.
Okay.
Yeah.
So an interview came out with Christopher Nolan. He's like, actually, one of my favorite flair, you know, like directors who has a flair for visual style is Michael Bay. Holy shit, did the internet's mind fucking melt. I'm like, oh, where you at now, fuckers?
Yeah.
Suck it.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was a big fan of that. But anyway, Train to Busan. I give it a solid 3.75 out of 5.
Oh, I'll go along with your rating.
All right.
That sounds good.
In the world of zombie flicks, you rate it pretty high.
Yes. I really liked this one. Okay. I liked all the rules. I liked the whole story. It was super good. That ending was amazing.
That ending was dope.
Yeah.
Because in a zombie movie, there's really only a couple different ways you can end it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of zombie movies end with the, we got to nuke the town.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And also another reason why I hate The Walking Dead. Because Robert Kirkman said, well, this is like this a zombie movie that never ends.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, a zombie movie has to have an ending.
Right.
You know, and the ending that he gave The Walking Dead in the comics was dog shit.
Really?
Yeah, he just decided, I don't want to do this anymore, and announced it with no really advance notice. Because every month they'll send out solicitations for new comics. Like, in this month's issue of The Walking Dead, da-da-da-da-da happens.
Uh-huh.
Like, 3 weeks before the comic came out, in the final issue of The Walking Dead. And that was it.
Oh, he always seemed like a pompous dick.
He's kind of a douche.
Yeah, when I've seen him before.
I'm not a fan.
I really loved that show. I will not lie about that. But then they kept on and they kept on and they kept on. Nobody's going to get a proper to-do.
Did you ever get involved much with the goings-on behind the scenes of that show?
I know they moved. I can't remember. Scott Gimple, I remember all that shit with him, and he's gotten promoted, which is a demotion, you know, like getting him out of the way.
Even before that, in season 2.
Oh.
Like, if so, originally Frank Darabont.
Right. He was a part of it, and he's not anymore, correct?
No, because he was the one that adapted it for the screen, for TV. And Frank Darabont, by the way, the guy that made The Shawshank Redemption.
Yes.
The Mist. Have you ever seen The Mist?
Yes. Is that the one where he kills him at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
And then the army shows up.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
God.
Great, great dark ending, right?
Yeah.
So he wanted to make The Walking Dead, and they made that initial first season, 6 episodes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
AMC loved it. They picked it up. They were like 3 or 4 days into filming season 2. And then the showrunner of Mad Men, which had been in hiatus for a long time, which was AMC's like cash cow at that point.
Right.
Decided, I'm ready for the next season. I need money. And AMC, while Walking Dead season 2 is already in production, slashed their budget.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they never got off that fucking farm.
That's
and nothing
right.
happened. You had just these long, drawn out, multi-episode weeks where nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, ugh. But in the comics, it's much like the show. It's just lather, rinse, repeat.
Right.
It's like, hey, we're in a situation and things are going great. And then some bad people show up and we have to fuck them up. And then we have to leave our current situation and go to another situation where we don't trust these people. But then we learn to like each other. Mm-hmm. And then something happens and we have to go to the next situation where the same shit continues to happen.
Right.
Give us an ending.
Yeah. It eventually got old.
Yeah.
And we lost too many people. Like, right. I know you're supposed to lose people over time, but it's like you lost so many that you got so connected to, you didn't have time to get connected to the next generation. And
right.
it's like, I couldn't grab a hold of anybody. I didn't care about them anymore.
Whereas you make a movie like Train to Busan.
Oh!
And man, oh man, that is just the perfect storm of zombie action.
Man, very good.
Glad you liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a movie you'd ever revisit, watch
yes.
again?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right.
I'll come back to that train.
Hell yeah.
I'll buy me another ticket, son.
Well, there is a pseudo sequel.
There's a second one, isn't there?
Kind of.
Okay.
It's called Train to Busan Presents Peninsula.
Peninsula, yeah.
It's not a direct sequel because it doesn't follow these characters, but it's set in the same universe.
Okay. Do you like it? Is it worth a watch?
I haven't actually watched all of it yet.
What are you doing?
Not being a good film buff. I started watching it and then just dozed off.
Oh, so not very well? Not very well done?
It's definitely not as good what I saw as Train to Busan.
Okay.
And it does have some kind of mixed reviews, but I don't like whatever. Like
we don't care about reviews here. We just care about what we think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which are our reviews, but you know, whatevs.
But it's ours.
Oh, yeah.
They're ours.
That's right.
So they matter.
And we like ourselves way more than other people.
100%.
But no, I was actually going to watch. I was going to try to watch Peninsula before we talked about Train to Busan today and just ran out of time.
That's okay. It happens to the best of us.
Yeah. But I also feel that that was a better idea to set it in that universe rather than to make a sequel. Because what are you going to do? Oh, we got to get back on the train.
Let's see how the fetus is doing.
Yeah.
Has the baby been born?
Why are you so afraid of trains? Well, my dad was eaten by one, zombies on one, so.
He was eaten by a train?
Yeah, he was eaten by a zombie train. being ran after by a zombie kangaroo.
Boing, 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 boing.
Zombie Leah. Oi, hold the train. Go get my zombie kangaroo on now.
Yeah.
We should figure out what we're going to watch next week.
God, yes. Let's figure that out. I have no ideas. It's 50 next week. You realize that, right?
Oh, shit.
We're at our 50th.
God.
Can you believe that? That's
no.
almost a year.
We have made it 50 episodes.
Oh, no, that's not a year because we've done 2 weeks. Never mind.
Yeah,
I'm off. Hold on.
That's all right.
Shit.
We're just trying to inflate these numbers. These are rookie numbers. We got to pump these numbers up.
Yep.
Yeah,
it's 50.
Damn, that's a milestone.
I feel like we have to do something important.
Okay.
But I don't know what that is. You're going to have to be. You're the guru here. All the responsibility falls upon you.
I have an idea.
What's your idea, bro?
It has been a while since we've had a Gary Oldman Appreciation Day.
It has been a while. Do we need to do Gary Oldman Appreciation Day on our 50th anniversary?
Yes.
Yeah.
With the movie that features my favorite Gary Oldman performance.
That wasn't the other guy?
True Romance?
Yeah.
Drexel Spivey is number two
okay.
for me. And I love Drexel Spivey. Like, I think he is great in the little bit of time that he's allowed in that movie, that he has to shine, like,
right.
so fucking good.
Right.
The movie that we're going to talk about next week, he gets a little bit more time to shine.
Ooh.
And I like the movie as a whole, but every time Gary is on screen, I have pored over every tiny little scene that he is in.
Oh, God.
Every little nuance, every little tick, every little emotion.
Oh, God. Okay.
What do you think about watching Leon the Professional?
I think it's great because I've never heard of it.
This is sweet. I am not surprised, you uncultured clod.
You called me a clod, damn it.
episode 50. Shit, yeah. Let's watch Ooh. The Professional.
Okay, I'm in.
All right.
Let's do it.
So we're going to do that next week for episode 50 for the milestone. We are halfway to episode 100, which we are not making it to.
No.
Mm-mm. Allegedly.
Where will we stop? Could it be 51? Is it 75? Is it 99? Who knows? We don't know.
We episode 99, we should just be like, all right, you know what? We are going to make it to 100. We'll see you next week. And then next 100 episode fires up. Never going to give you up. Never going to let you.
Why are you telling them what we're going to plan to do with them?
Because that's 50 episodes from now. They're going to forget by then.
You're assuming people listen to us in order, which is very adorable.
That's super funny.
Right?
That would be so funny. Hey, episode, these guys have made it to 100. They got to offer some stuff. I'm going to listen to these backwards like some jackass would do.
Like some Leanne bitch would do.
Play. Never going to give you. Oh, fuck this.
Fuck these people. That'd be the end of it.
I'm not listening to this for 100 episodes. Trash.
Oh, man. Trash.
All right. Well, next week, we will be back to chat. Gary Oldman Appreciation Day.
Gary Oldman.
Gary fucking Oldman. Oh.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to see how excited you're going to be talking about this movie.
Because I get excited talking about my Gary Oldman films.
I've heard.
Yeah.
I've witnessed.
Uh-huh. That happened back in our True Romance episode. Check it out at HuntsvilleHomeVideo.com. Mm-hmm. You can also follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at
HSV Home Video.
And while you're doing that, while you're hitting the likes and the subscribes and the follows and the things and the stuff, you should also leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. That would be mighty nice, yeah.
I honestly don't want to accept anything less.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, so if you could get that going, that'd be great. And a glowing review.
Yeah.
Yeah. Glowing write-up.
Tired of these Rick Rolls, 4 stars. I'm like, we deserve that. We deserve that.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. If you have a good comment and a 4-star review, I'll let it slide.
But right. Yeah, yeah.
Put some thought into it.
And then while you're also doing that, give a follow to our show sponsor, Underboss Photography, _photography on the Insta. Check out some of Michael's amazing pictures. I bet he would take some good shots of the zombie apocalypse.
Oh my gosh, he would. He really would. Can you imagine the shots he would get on that train?
Yeah.
You know, things in motion.
Some great shots.
Yeah.
Could you imagine the promo shots you could put together for Lili's Kangaroo Adventures?
Oh my God. He's director of photography.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's hired. That's our first cast member.
All right. We'll be back next Monday for Leon the Professional. Until then, be kind and rewind. And catch that last train to Busan, because there's zombies at the station.
I hate it.